Good morning and welcome on this Palm Sunday. It's wonderful to have each of you here with us and those of you that are worshiping with us online. Know that each of you will need a palm. These are yours to use throughout the service at different times and also to take home with you. This is a reminder of our week that we are entering into in Holy Week. So please take your palm with you and lay it in a prominent place in your home or tape it to your refrigerator door as just a reminder of where we are as we head into Easter. This is truly Palm Sunday, and welcome to all of you. At Anderson First United Methodist Church, we make disciples for Jesus Christ by following our pathway, living our faith, nurturing families, serving our communities. I am Reverend Corrine Boroff, and I have the honor of others that are leading worship with me this morning, Allie Hall, Al, Lynn, and Jacob Raleigh, Candy Short, and our music by our children's choir and our sanctuary choir. Children's choir directed by Abby Mercer, and our sanctuary choir directed by Susan Finger. This week begins our Holy Week, and on Thursday we have a Holy Thursday service here in the sanctuary at 7:30 p.m. On Friday evening we have the Good Friday service at 7 p.m. also here in the sanctuary. I invite you to travel on this journey with Jesus in this time of Holy Week and attend these worship services. As much as you can, they will be live streamed as well. But come and participate fully in those services as they lead us to Easter. As opposed to simply celebrating Palm Sunday and celebrating Easter, it allows us to experience the entire experience of Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples and his crucifixion. There is still an opportunity to participate in the Easter lilies if you would like to purchase an Easter lily in honor of or in memory of someone. Those forms are at each of the tables just inside our sanctuary doors, also at the Welcome Center. The final day is Wednesday to submit those. They will be published next Sunday. We have coming up very shortly after Easter, beginning April 3rd, is the Andrew Paradigm. This is a book written by Bishop Mike Coyner. Joe Snyder will be facilitating this conversation, and it kind of takes us next step. After Easter, how do we share this good news? Well, join Joe for this six-week study. That comes to us from Bishop Mike in sharing how we do that, how we share the good news of Jesus Christ. There's much more at our Welcome Center, so please check out the different announcements and places to sign up. There's a lot going on in the life of this church, and invite you to be a part of any and all of it. Let us now stand and greet one another with the joy of knowing Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
As you return to your seats, let us center our hearts for worship. Our call to worship and our hymn of praise. Honor, praise, and glory. Honor, praise, and glory are yours, Almighty Jesus, now and forever. In celebration, we join the crowds of old, waving branches, giving honor to Jesus, the Messiah. Yet our relationship, our celebration is bittersweet, for our story doesn't end here. We know the pain of what lies ahead. Today anticipates the rest of the story, a story of betrayal and death, a story of hope and resurrection.
Good morning. Hey, good morning. I'd like to invite all the children down for our children's moment. I think Sydney has our back. Anybody that was here for Good Friday recognizes this book, and today we're going to read a chapter in it called Holy Week, because today is the start of something called Holy Week. What do you think Holy Week might be?
The days leading up to Easter.
Very good. Grace, did you have something else to add, or was that it?
It's like the week where we have to be like most holy and like worship Him a lot.
Yeah, but Caroline was right. It's the week leading up to Easter, okay? Right. Holy Week. The last week in Lent is called Holy Week. Holy Week is filled with stories about Jesus. On Palm Sunday, when's Palm Sunday?
Today.
Good job. It is today. We learn how Jesus and his friends traveled to the great city of Jerusalem to celebrate the feast of the Passover. At Passover, the people of God remember that they were once slaves in Egypt. They remember how God saved them. They remember how God led them through the sea and the desert to freedom. As Jesus came near Jerusalem, crowds of people welcomed him. They threw their coats and palm branches on the road and shouted, "Hosanna, save us now." I wonder who they thought Jesus was. I wonder what they hoped Jesus would do for them. On Maundy Thursday, we bring soup and bread to church and eat together. After supper, we go into the sanctuary. We hear the story of the night Jesus and his friends ate together for the last time. Before the meal, Jesus took a cloth, a bowl, and a pitcher of water. He got down on his knees and washed his friends' feet, which were dirty and sore from walking. That is who Jesus is. He pours himself out like water from a pitcher. He touches what is dirty and hurting and makes it clean and whole. Jesus told his friends, "This is what you must do for each other. Love one another as I have loved you." On Friday, we come to church again. We hear how people who did not like Jesus came and carried him away. They made fun of him, bullied him, and hurt him. They took everything from him. They nailed him to a cross, and Jesus died. As we listen to this story, everything around us changes. The candles on the altar are snuffed out one by one. Darkness creeps in, and all the colors are washed away. The cross is draped in black. The church is not dressed in purple anymore. It's bare and sad and full of shadows. Outside on the street, I hear people laughing and talking, but it seems wrong. Don't they know what happened to Jesus? Then on Sunday, we get up while it's still dark. We walk to the lake and meet other people from our church. Wrapped in blankets, we shiver in the cold and wait. A streak of pink appears in the sky, and then the sun, huge and blazing orange. The darkness drains away, and even the air fills full to the brim with color. We see that God has done a wonderful thing. Hallelujah, we sing. Jesus is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. The colors of the sunrise spill over and splash into our church. Everywhere there are flowers and green leaves, beautiful banners and bright sunlight. The shadows are gone. Lent is over. We've made time. We've made space. We've made room. And now we're ready. We're different. Everything is different. The whole world is new. It's Easter morning. So those are some of the things we're going to be focusing on all week long. And what we're going to do now is we're going to head back to our seats for a little bit, and then our kids are going to sing one more song, and then after that, we're going to head down to our classrooms, and I've got some really fun crafts and games for us to do today. All right? So let's head back to our seats or to the choir loft.
Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathes his last. Luke 23:46.
We are reminded of where this Holy Week will take us. We have sung Hosanna and are challenged by the same voices who then cry out, "Crucify." As we extinguish this light, we call to mind those who are lost or have lost their faith.
Please pray with me. God of hope, we pray for those who struggle with their faith or have lost touch with Christ. May they come to know Jesus as their friend and loving Savior, and one day find the strength and conviction to believe and follow. May we too be constant models of love, forgiveness, and welcome. We ask this prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Today we are each invited to welcome Jesus. Some will offer their voices. Some will offer their possessions. Some will offer their presence. All are important and valid. Thank you for what you offer Jesus.
We live your name and name you.
gracious and welcoming God, we offer these gifts and those already given through online. May they be used to joyfully proclaim your vision and hope for our world. Amen.
Thank you, choir, for inspiring all of us this morning. Please prepare your hearts as I offer the prayers of the people this morning. Holy God, on this Palm Sunday, we come to you as people who sing with joy, but we also come to you as people who sometimes struggle. We want to shout, waving our branches with the excitement of your presence. But some days we can't. Some days the best we can do is put one foot in front of the other. We face times of illness. We have lost loved ones. We are not sure what the future holds. In those times of struggle, may we remember your peace and love given to us through your Son. Sometimes we struggle as people who think that glory and fame are the goals of our lives. We want the things that are bigger and better. We want to be more popular. We want to be the best at what we do, even competing with others to get there. But that is not who you have called us to be. You have called us to be uncomfortable with these types of selfish goals. You want us to speak out for the oppressed, to speak up for the underdog, to strive to increase love, not power. So as we sing our hosannas today, may we remember to whom those words of honor were first sung, and may we seek to live lives that share the same kind of love Christ shared so long ago. On days when we can joyfully sing your praises, may we do so with uplifted voices. On days when we strive to simply put one foot in front of the other, may we feel your comfort and peace. We pray these things in the name of Christ, who taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now for the gospel reading, would you please stand if you are able? First, we have from Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11, from the New Living Translation. As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the towns of Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Go into that village over there, he told them. As soon as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, what are you doing? Just say, the Lord needs it and will return it soon. So the two disciples left and found the colt standing in the street, tied outside the front door. As they were untying it, some bystanders demanded, what are you doing untying that colt? They said what Jesus had told them to say, and they were permitted to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it, and he sat on it. Many in the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others spread leafy branches they had cut in the fields. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people were all around him shouting, praise God! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David! Praise God in highest heaven! So Jesus came to Jerusalem and went into the temple. After looking around carefully at everything, he left because it was late in the afternoon. Then he returned to Bethany with the 12 disciples. And now from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 15, from the Message. After John was arrested, Jesus went to Galilee, preaching the message of God. Time's up. God's kingdom is here. Change your life and believe the message. This is God's word for God's people today. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
As you're getting settled, I'd like to invite you to take out your cell phone and hold it up. If you have it handy. If not, you can just raise your hand if you have one. But what I'd like you to kind of look at is, how many text messages do you have on your cell phone right now? I actually have 6. I always find that very interesting that people text me on a Sunday morning knowing that I'm a pastor. And sometimes it's my kids. It's like, hey, guys, don't you know what I'm doing on Sunday mornings? But text messages is something that we take very seriously, especially in the United States, but it's worldwide. 8.4 trillion texts were sent in 2023. Stats aren't quite in for this year, but they're expected to go up. And so we use this a lot. I thought that breaking it down might put it. Trillions just don't jive with me. I can't even wrap my head around that. But if you take a look at each day, there's 2.3 billion text messages that are sent and received. So I thought a billion is also a lot. I thought, okay, let's look at a minute. Surely that just breaks it down enough that I could grasp that. 16 million text messages are sent and received every minute. This is something worldwide. 65% of us send and receive text messages all around the world. Out of that 65%, that's 33% more than the people who have indoor plumbing. Our priorities in this world, right? It's right here. Communicating. In fact, in the United States, there's a little-known law of the presidency, of the United States president. Of the president of the United States can send a mass text message to every person who has a cell phone in the United States at one time, if they decide to do so. So it's something that even as a nation, we value, we hold on to. We use our text messaging, right? And it made me wonder, would Jesus use text messaging? If he were here and a person walking among us today, would he send his message out via text message? I'm guessing no. The reason being, Jesus taught one-on-one. Even though a text message is one-on-one, and you could make an argument, but Jesus, it is very inexpensive. You don't even have to have a smartphone, and there's no special app that you need. I'm guessing no. Because you see, Jesus depends on you and I to share his message. Now, if we chose to share Jesus' message via text message, I think he would probably applaud that. Yes, get the word out. Share the good news of what I bring to you. Folks, you can, in anticipation of Easter Sunday next Sunday, send a text to your family members, your neighbors, and say, join me at church on Easter. It's at 10 o'clock a.m. is our traditional one. We celebrate at that time, but also there's our 7 a.m. sunrise service and a breakfast, a hot breakfast, out at our Davis Park property. Invite them. Send a message. I think Jesus would applaud using our text messages that way. But you see, Jesus truly was the great communicator. Everything that Jesus said, he was teaching. Everything that Jesus did was intentional. Jesus was a phenomenal, the great communicator. And you see, he communicated both to the disciples and the people of his time, but he continues to communicate to us today. The word continues to come to each of us, to our hearts and our minds and our souls directly from Jesus Christ. Will you see this story that we have of Jesus, the story of this great communicator? And this day, Jesus communicated all types of things. You see, when Jesus would heal a person, he was communicating God's powerful love for the people. When Jesus was teaching, he was teaching about who God is, who Jesus is, and who we should be. When Jesus stood up and opposed the religious authorities of the time, he would offer warnings, because these leaders were being misdirected and misdirecting. Not intentionally all the time, but they weren't hearing the new covenant through Jesus Christ. When Jesus worked on the Sabbath, he was teaching that something new was happening. Something different was here. So you see, all that he taught throughout his time here among us leads to today, Palm Sunday. So what is it that Jesus is teaching us today? What message does he have for us? Is Jesus teaching us that he is the King? You see, there's a big production. All the Gospels talk about this Palm Sunday entrance into Jerusalem. Every one of them, and they all four have different details. We, in our imaginations and hearing this over and over every year, we put it all together. We add the crowds with the palms waving, and we put the crowds there. You see, because Mark, our gospel lesson today, is the briefest of all, with the fewer details included. You see, in Mark's gospel, there are no palm branches waving. And we actually have to insert the crowds cheering and following Jesus. And we do that. But regardless of whether they are included in Mark's gospel or not, Jesus has the same powerful message to share with us on this Palm Sunday. Is he the King? Is he sharing that he is the King for us? Is he sharing that he came to fulfill what Zechariah says? In Zechariah 9:9, it says, "Your king is coming, humble and on a donkey." Is that why Jesus made such a production of having this colt that he would ride into Jerusalem? Even the fact that the people would take off their outer garments and lay them down. Folks, if you've ever been to Israel and you've seen the entrance that Jesus would have taken down the Mount of Olives and toward Jerusalem, a donkey hitting those pieces of cloth would just go sailing down the hill. It's a steep incline. Nevertheless, that's what a king rode when they were making a grand entrance. A donkey was ridden as a king coming in peace. And the clothes that were down was like their version of the red carpet being rolled out for a king in their midst. Or maybe Jesus was saying, I am the Messiah. I'm coming to you as your Messiah. I'm coming to you, the one, it's Passover time. Passover time celebrated Moses, who saved the people of God from being slaves in Egypt. And now Jesus announcing that he is now the Messiah that would save his people, and they thought, from the Romans, the oppression of the Romans. You see, Jesus even made a point to enter from the east, the Mount of Olives, and to come down the Mount of Olives toward Jerusalem and enter Jerusalem from the east, because Jewish tradition taught that the Messiah would enter the city gates, through the east. Is that what Jesus was telling us? Quite honestly, Jesus took the symbols that all the people would know. All the Jewish people knew what to look for a king, for a Messiah, and he took both of those. All those symbols, and said, I am your king, I am your Messiah, but I am something different altogether. Not what you expect. And you see, this parade into Jerusalem was one more symbol that the people didn't get. Only Jesus knew at this point, but it was a funeral procession as well. Jesus was aware of what was coming. He knew. And in that funeral procession that the people would acknowledge later on, when they completely understood what had been taking place, kind of looking back and going, oh, that's what Jesus meant. Jesus was inviting us to see the power of sacrifice. Because the power of sacrifice is shown through love. Unconditional and complete love. And that's what Jesus was showing. A love that never ends, that's with us for all ages. All people, all the time. Our King, our Messiah, would always be among us. Different than any other funeral procession there ever had been in the past. There was a monastery, and speaking of Jerusalem, all of the different religious sites, the Christian sites in Israel, are maintained by different monasteries and nunneries. They are a part of the Catholic tradition, and they see over those. They maintain those buildings, and many of them are here from the United States. There's one in Indianapolis, a group of nuns, and they send a portion of those nuns over to Israel every year, their cycle, it's their time to go, and they serve the community that comes in, and they maintain the buildings and properties while they are there. But there was a particular monastery where they had lost life. And the monks that lived there were prayerful, but they had gotten kind of tired. Worn out, bored with what they were doing. And nobody was coming anymore. It was just them in the monastery. No one was coming to services or mass. So one of the monks was elected to go talk to a pastor that came regularly to a cottage not far from the monastery, and went to visit the pastor and just said, you know, we're just failing. There's just no life in us because there's no one that comes anymore. And the pastor commiserated and he said, you know, our church is just the same. Congregations are dwindling and fading away. And the life is going. And so they sit and they talked for a long time. And the pastor said, you know, I'm so sorry, I don't have an answer for you. But what I can tell you is the Messiah is among you. Well, the monk went back, and the others were eager to hear if he got any words of wisdom, any solutions that they could use. And he says, no, he didn't have any answers for us. But he did tell us the Messiah is among us. Well, the monks began to pray over that, and they began to think, well, is it that one? No, he's too grumpy. But maybe, just in case, I'll treat him with more respect. Or maybe it's that one. No, that one's a little bit flighty. But just in case, I'll treat him with reverence. Maybe it's that one. Oh, but that one is just so off. Just not very personable at all. Hard to get along with. But maybe I'll treat that one with honor. What if it's me? What if I'm to be the Messiah among us? And the monks all thought that, and they began to treat themselves with respect and reverence and honor. And so the compassion grew in that monastery as they treated each other as if each of them was the Messiah, just in case. And people came to have picnics in the yards of the monastery. They were pretty gardens. But what the people began to notice was this aura of unexplainable and amazing love. And it drew them back again and again, and they brought friends and family with them. Because it was pleasant, it was wonderful to be there, and some began to worship with the monks because of the love that was being shared and the compassion that was being shown. And that monastery became vibrant with light and love. What would it be like if the Messiah were among us? How would it change us? Folks, Palm Sunday is a Sunday that opens our Holy Week to tell us the Messiah is among us now and always. He comes into our lives now and always to continue to open up and reveal to us what God has to show us, what God has to tell us about this abundant, unconditional love. What God has to say to us about the injustices in the world. And we are called, we are convicted to share in what Jesus Christ is already doing among us. We are invited to be a part of that. You see sacrificial power. It's the only sacrifice is the only path to power, to real power. This is what Jesus was revealing coming into Jerusalem that Palm Sunday as King and Messiah and something totally different than the people thought they knew and thought they wanted. Sacrifice is the only path to power. And love is the only power that matters. This is the message Christ has for us on Palm Sunday. And we hear it over and over again when we hear the stories of Christ in Scripture, in the Bible, on Palm Sunday, and throughout this Holy Week. So you are invited during this week to continue to travel with Jesus Christ and listen for what Christ wants to teach. Watch intently to what Christ is revealing, that you too can be a part of this mystery of love and eternal life. Amen. Let us sing together, "Tell Me the Stories of Jesus." To you when all is well, but we are prone to scatter when there is opposition or criticism. Lord Jesus, we are fickle people, quick to turn away. Forgive our weakness when we turn away. Strengthen us for the journey ahead as we relive your suffering and death, that we might stay beside you to the end. Give us the courage to shout, "Hosanna," today and every day to come. Hosanna. Amen. us stand to receive the benediction. Go now into this Palm Sunday, recognizing that Jesus Christ, your King and your Messiah, has come to you and will remain with you now and always. Amen. Hosanna. Amen.